been a minute, y'all. It's been a good minute. We've been out in these streets. People been flying across the country, and some of us, meaning me, have taken a long deserved break. But now I'm back, and I am so excited to kick off the show. Oh, in case you forgot, I'm Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sportsnista, and this is Levels, your favorite combat sports podcast, where we talk to everybody who is important and interesting in the sports of boxing and MMA and some other stuff along the way, because there's levels to this. Today, we have a man who goes by many names, but is one of a kind. He is absolutely your favorite fighter's favorite designer. We're going to call him JR, but I hear a lot of fighters call him the future, and we're going to find out what his mama and them call him as well. JR, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are we doing today?
I'm good. I know that you're good and tired because you are in Las Vegas working.
It's like it's nonstop for me, to be honest. Even when I don't promote my company, I still get nonstop calls, which is kind of funny.
Your company is called I Got My Own Back.
Tell me how
you came up with that name.
So the name came after I overdosed February 17th, 2011. Before that, I was a troublemaker, and you name it, I kind of did it in a way. You know what I mean? I was a kid who lived too much in his past. You know, when you grow up with an alcoholic father and you kind of grow up an angry child because you always feel like you never deserved anything. I lived in like some of the worst parts of Santa Ana, California. I started working at the age of 7, like ferrying carts, like pushing carts outside of Target. Because back in the days, if you push a cart and you put it away, it gives you like a quarter. So to be honest, that's what I used to do as a kid, because my mom would sit on the curb with one of my brothers and I'd hold my other brother's hand and we'd go up to like the folks and be like, you know, can we take your cart? Obviously, they knew it's because we were going to get a quarter and we'd use that money to eat. You know what I mean? So it's like, so that's kind of to get an idea of like where my life started as a kid, right? And to be honest, growing up bullied, being bullied not only by my father, but by like kids in school. I grew up a very angry individual, which I ended up in the hands of the wrong people, obviously, right? Where what happens when there's no love at the, you know, when you feel like you're not feeling the love at home, what happens to us? We all got fined in the streets, and that's exactly what I did. And growing up watching gangster movies, which is why I don't recommend gangster movies anymore, because me growing up watching The Godfather, watching what are those other gangster movies? Just all the crazy ones with like Joe Pesci and with like all those crazy gang Casino. So Blood In, Blood Out, American Me. When you watch movies like that, you're like, you know what? I want to be respected too, right? So that starts to get into your head. Like, you know, I want the money. I want power. Like Scarface. I used to be a guy that idolizes them. Now everybody's like, yeah, bro, I got a Scarface tattoo. Like, that's my idol right there in my head. I'm like, do you realize the person that you're idling is the one that gets you into trouble, right? So me, in the beginning, I was like that. I was idolizing guys like that. And it got to the point where I wanted to live that life. I wanted to live that life, right?
You weren't looking for respect, or were you looking for like love and acceptance?
I was looking for love, acceptance, respect. And obviously, what do we all want? Fast cash, right? Because we see people out there with like, you know, nice things, and we're like, and me, I didn't have nice things in the beginning growing. Obviously, my dad provided what he could, but I would get picked on for not having the right clothes. I'd get picked on for not wearing whatever all the cool kids were wearing. So it's like, after that, it got to the point where I was like, you know what? It's in my hands now what I want to do. So I started hanging out with thugs, basically, right? So I started hanging out with thugs, and to be honest, it only started putting me down a deeper hole. So I was already in a deep hole. And then me living in my past thinking like, oh, you know, I never deserve anything. And, you know, nobody cares about me. I was very like, I lacked self-love. I really did. I lacked self-love. I lacked motivation because everybody told me that I was never going to be anything. So I listened to everything that the world told me. So everyone was saying, I was going to school. I got kicked out of my high schools, which no high school wanted to take me in the region. So they sent me to continuation school. And when I went to continuation school and I ended up being a super senior, I got held back another year because I didn't even have enough credits to graduate.
But I went back.
And the funny thing is that when I graduated, my dad tells me, He goes, congratulations, you graduated from coloring books, because it was a continuation school. So that was kind of like an ego kill, you know what I mean? So it's this. I never believed in myself because the people around me always told me that I would never accomplish anything because I come from a Hispanic background, because I come from the ghetto, because I never accomplished anything, and I never tried at anything because everyone always told me, why try if you're just going to fail? So I always let everybody control that. So when I started hanging out with these thugs, you know, I obviously started living life, you know, on the fast lane. A lot of things I can't talk about because I had detectives showed up by my doors years later. And I got into some serious trouble, which then I was looking at like years in prison. I was being sued for hundreds and thousands of dollars. That kind of goes to show you when you fall into the wrong hands where your life starts going. And then I was an alcoholic because growing up, seeing my dad drink, it kind of, you know, obviously I wanted to feel that. And I was always trying to escape reality. So to be honest with you, I was drinking and I was popping pills like crazy because I never wanted to experience reality because I lived with anxiety, panic attacks, suicidal thoughts. I had a lot of self-love issues. I didn't believe in myself. And I just felt like the whole world was against me. And I felt like, I don't know. I just felt like I was in a very unhappy place in my life, to the point where I had a gun pulled out on me once. They put a gun in my head and they said, what if I just pulled the trigger right now? And my response to that was, you'd be doing me a favor, right?
How old were you?
I was 23. So I was 23 years old. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. I'm 35 now, but like when they did that, and the guy pulled the trigger, he started laughing like a maniac. And he said, you were meant to live. You were meant to live, because I thought this thing was loaded. The guy was on crack. Like, he was not all there mentally. He was, like, doing drugs that night. So he legitimately thought that that gun was loaded. But me at that point in my life, that's how you knew, like, I really didn't really care about myself, didn't really care about what happened to me. I legitimately was living life on the edge. I was, you know, I didn't care whether I lived or died each day, basically, right? So when I overdosed, and I'm going to fast forward to when I overdosed. Now I'm sitting in the car overdosing. I called my dad to let him know, yo, I don't feel good. Like I feel really sick right now. And my dad didn't know this, but that was my third week of binge drinking and popping pills and not eating any food. So for 3 weeks, I didn't eat any food. I just drank and I just popped pills. Like that's all, because my addictions got so hardcore that I didn't even eat. I survived off of drugs and alcohol. Like that's what my body was surviving off of. So when I called my dad to tell him that, you know, I didn't feel well, he hung up the phone on me. He says, I told you this was going to catch up to you. And he hung up on me. So my dad was kind of fed up because recently detective showed up at my door looking for me. You know, now he finds out that I'm getting sued for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now he's like, they're showing him all these pictures. Why is your son hanging out with people like this? You're right. So it got to the point where my dad just didn't even know what to do with me either. So that's why he hung up on me. He was kind of like, oh my God, like this kid, right? So as I'm overdosing and I'm losing everything, like I can't move. I can't move my legs. I can't move my arms. I'm in my car. I'm looking in the rear view, in the mirror right here, right? And as I'm looking in the mirror, I'm looking at myself and it's like, in that moment, I realized like, oh my God, I'm dying basically. But before that, I was able to call 911 and kind of tell them where I was at. I called them, but my phone died.
You didn't want to go, man.
So my phone ended up dying while I'm on the phone with 911. I was barely able to give them a description of where I was at. I just said the street name and the 24-hour fitness because I was right next to it. So in that moment, I started praying to God for the first time in my life. It's like I tell everybody, like before that, I didn't know what to believe in, right? I didn't know what to believe in before that because I just felt like if there was a God, like so many bad things wouldn't be happening in my life, right? So I kind of started like to questioning stuff like that. And that's why I feel like I kept going down a deeper hole, right? So in that moment, I started praying for the first time and I started asking for forgiveness in that moment. It's like in that moment, I became a believer as everything's shutting down, my body's shutting down. My vision's going black. In that moment, I just felt like, you know what? I at least got to apologize for the way I live my life. And to be honest, in that moment, it's like a movie of my life was played, like the whole movie of my life. And in that moment, I was just heartbroken because I realized I didn't do anything with my life. I realized nothing good came from anything. Like I broke a lot of hearts, hurt a lot of people. I destroyed almost my parents' marriage. My brothers, they didn't have an older brother because he was too busy in the streets. So in that moment, like, everything hit me. It's like every heartbreak, every tear, everything just hit me at once. Like, I felt it all in my heart. And it destroyed me in that moment to the point where I even told God, you know what, if you feel like this is it for me, like, I respect that because you gave me an opportunity to live. You get, I mean, if you really think about it, when we're born, it's like a one in a million chance that us came out, right? Yeah. So it's like, and now that, and after I thought about it, I was like, you know what, now that I think about it, we all have a purpose, yeah, right? We all have a purpose. We just feel like we don't have a purpose because we're so down on ourselves. So in that moment, I said, you know what, if you would have given me another chance, I would have definitely lived life differently. And I would have written a different story. But in that moment, my vision went black. So everything blacked out. Now I'm in this dark room. I just hear, like, right, I'm like in this dark room now. And everything shut down on me. And then it's like I heard voices from a distance. Like, I'm hearing voices. I can't make them out, but I hear voices. And in this moment, I'm asking for forgiveness. It's for the first time in my life, I'm really praying. And I'm asking for forgiveness. And I'm really saying, you know, take care of my family. But if you could just do me one favor, God, just let me see them one more time. And it's crazy, but the voices started getting louder and louder as I'm in this dark room. And as I opened my eyes, I looked in the mirror and I see my mom and my brother being held back by cops. And they're screaming. My mom's screaming, that's my son. And my brother's screaming, that's my brother. And as I'm looking at them, I had a tear coming out my eye because I told God, thank you for letting me see them because they're the people that I hurt the most. And as I'm looking around, there's guys working on top of me. They're like, he's coming back. Like, they're screaming, but they're screaming so loud. But to me, they just sound super far away because I am so gone. And I'm hearing them say, like, you know, he's coming back. He's coming back. But in that moment, everything went black again. Everything just went black. And I just thank God in that moment for letting me see them one more time. And in that moment, I felt like that's it. Like, my plug was pulled. Like, I just got taken out. So after I woke up, like, later on, I realized, oh, my goodness, I got another second chance at life. You know, I'm sitting there in front of the doctor, and the doctor did say, you know what, 5 minutes later, and that's it, you're dead. Like, 100%, we can't bring you back. Like, we were having trouble trying to bring you back to life because your body was so far gone because you have nothing in your system. So then they're like, your parents already kind of gave us a rundown of what you were going through, what you've been through, and the way you've been living your life. So in that moment, the doctor basically said, you know what? You know what the life you've been living, where it ends, right? You saw where it ends. I heard you're fighting court cases, and now I heard that, and now look, you're overdosed. So you think about it if you want to continue in this life, right? So in that moment, I broke down crying. I just broke down crying like crazy. And, you know, my parents walked in the room and they never knew that I had so much pain inside me. And, you know, after everything was said and done, and I finally, you know, got a chance to go home. I got rid of all the pills that I had stashed. I got rid of all the alcohol. I got rid of everything. I grabbed my cell phone. I told my brother, take me to the ocean, to Laguna Newport Beach. And then I just grabbed my phone. I threw it in the ocean. I disconnected myself from the world in that moment. And when we went back home, I sat in my car and I told myself, when I get out of this car, it's no more looking back. It's no more, you know, living life thinking, why me? It's no more basically sitting there and never not believing in yourself, right? So in that moment, what I did was I sat in my car and I screamed like a maniac. I screamed like a maniac. I screamed all the pain. And then I cried it all out. I legitimately felt like I might have dried my body out because of all the tears. I cried so much, and I think I was in my car for like 2 hours. And imagine somebody just screaming in his car like a maniac, just screaming, because I just wanted to let out so much emotion. That the moment when I walked out of my car, it was like, if you got a book, and if you got the page open halfway, you're always looking back, right? Because you're always looking back. So what did I do? I told myself, you're going to just turn the page and you're not going to ever look back. You're going to start writing a brand new story. So when I was in my room trying to rehabilitate myself, my parents took me in. They said, you know what? We want you to stay with us because we feel like we need to help you. And I said, yes, I do feel like I need help too. So I lost connections with all my, I haven't spoken to any of my old friends now in 10 years. I haven't seen anybody from my help? No, I did not. I did it all myself. That's why
you've never gotten it?
No professional help, nothing. So in that moment, I'm sitting in my room and I'm going crazy. Like I'm banging my head. Like I'm getting chills. I'm sweating because my body wants pills. It wants alcohol. It wants like that rush again, right? And I wouldn't do it. So what ended up happening was I told myself, you know what? And that's funny because in one of my posts on Instagram, I posted some of the original designs where I started thinking about a company name. So I wanted to think of a company name that's empowering, something that says, you know what? If I fall, I'm going to get back up. Something that says that I'm going to be my own motivation. Something that says I'm going to be my own cheerleader. I'm going to cheer myself on. I'm the one that's in control of my destiny. I'm in control of the direction that my life goes in. No more being held by like a puppet, basically. No more letting the world decide like which direction my life goes in. So I told my dad, you know what? I'm going to start a company and I'm going to call it I Got My Own Back. So that's what I Got My Own Back means. It basically means I'm in control now.
That is an amazing story of survival and resilience. Ralph Velez has joined us. And Ralph, I know that you know JR's story a little bit.
My brother.
Tell us a little bit of what you know about
this. No, I got a chance to see him in one of the gyms, actually. And it was the girls from the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
It was actually Kevin Kelly's ex-wife, right? So she's like, do you know who that guy is right there? I go, who? That guy right there. I go, no, what is he, a fighter? Like, what? I mean, you know, bro, you don't look like you're an altar boy. Let's be honest, man, right? So I'm like, nah, who is this guy? I don't know. And they're like, that's the guy that made such and such trunks. I said, that guy right there made those trunks that he wore. Like, yeah, that guy right there, and he's making trunks for such and such and such and such and such and such. I'm not going to name drop because your work, you know, you're already working top of the mountain. I don't have the name drop because you're already at the top of the mountain anyway, bro. So, like, I was like, no shit. I go, so what is he, right? He's like, nah, she's just like, go talk to him because he reminds me a lot of you. Like, he's cool. I said, all right. I went to go talk to him. And I hit it off with him immediately. I was like, dude, like, to hear the story and to come, most people either have, and we talk about this a lot, CC, like, there's a fork in the road. When you come from the very bottom and you hit rock bottom, whether it's in life or whether it's just the way you were raised, you can either go one way. You can be appreciative of what happens to you and you can help other people, or you can take the other road and act like your shit don't stink and become hated. And this man took the right road and everybody loves him. And I fell in love with this dude. I was like, you know what, brother? Like, he inspires me. I told him a bunch of times, like, dude, you make me want to get up in the morning and help other people because of what you're doing. We haven't had a chance to link up because we've been so busy. But I told him that I wanted to talk. He's going to make my clothes, my suits. And I don't want anybody else touching me and having anything on my back because he's got his own back, and I'm going to have his back too. And that's the cool thing about the name is that when you wear his stuff, you're basically saying to him, brother, I got your story. I feel you. I got your back as well. And that's cool that, you know, in a sense that we're going to be able to wear his stuff on our bodies because we're in a sense embracing his story, what he's gone through, and having his back as well. So phenomenal, dude. I'm so proud of him, man. We got bigger things in store for him. Not only was the boxing, but in all sports general, there's people in other sports that are like high level that we still have not been able to get in touch with and wrap this up. But I'm talking like MVPs of other leagues that already noticed what he was doing. And it's not like he's out there showing off. It's just that he puts his post out there and you're like, damn, this is weird. Like, this post is weird. What is he doing? And then he comes out with this like super duper like Mario Barrios. He walked right in front of me. And if you go back and look at the Showtime telecast and even on the epilogue, he walks right past me, and I'm looking at his outfit like, dude, what the hell is this? And I'm like, this is dope. Like, he walked right by me, and I was like, dude, of course, says Junior. That's only in the mind of a genius, you know. It's a genius and puts this on paper in his mind first. He sits there, he analyzes it, and that's why he was able to overcome all that he's been through by himself, because it takes a special person to be able to get out of a rut like that. I have family members, I have friends that have fallen in that rut, have never been able to get out of it. To this day, yeah. They're 60, 70 years old. They can't get out of it. It takes a special human being. And what's the word that we use, CC? It takes what? Huevos.
Huevos.
That's right. It takes huevos to be able to change your life for the better. And I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him. He's showing up at WBC get-togethers. He's a main stable now with the biggest organizations in the world. And I can't be more proud of him. I can't wait till he makes my first coat and all the other.
Cool.
Don't be hating and capping on me and going and running to him either, because it's exclusive. Exclusive ring announcing
hey,
stuff.
Listen, this is a reason why they're calling this man the future. Let's go. So you've always been an artist. When did it become a profession for you? Who was the first fighter? Because listen, I mean, Ralph said he's not going to name drop. I'm going to name drop. Your favorite fighters are wearing his designs. Blair Cobbs is wearing your design. Mario Barrios. We saw Ryan Garcia, Canelo. Tell us the Canelo story. Well, tell me first when it became a business for you, and then tell me the Canelo story.
So the funny thing is, when I first started my brand, it's funny because I always tell everybody boxing saved my life, and that's the truth. Because when people are asked me, like, how did you get over your addictions? By educating my mind. I didn't have money to go to school, so I would YouTube like fashion. I would YouTube like boxing fights, like just so I could see their outfits, right? And if I wanted to learn how to like design, I learned it all through YouTube. Like legitimately, everything I learned it through YouTube. And at first I noticed that every time like my mind wanted pills, I would look up a fight and I would just sit there and I'd watch like Mike Tyson fights. And I would sit there and just like love watching him fight, right? And I love his story also. He's one of my favorite fighters. Actually, he is my favorite fighter. So then what's it called? Every time that my mind wanted to go like into the wicked ways, I would distract my mind by educating myself either in boxing or watching fights or just learning how to design. And that's exactly what I would do. I would have like a vision board where I would design like shorts. I would design, like, I'm like, you know what? One day I want to design for a movie. So I would design what I would think would look like, you know, like a short for a movie, which I did for Creed 2. You know, one day I want to design for one of the biggest names in boxing. So I would design there an outfit. So everything that I wanted to accomplish, including being an ambassador for the WBC, like it happened and I've accomplished. So it's like all these things, I wrote them down and I drew them out. Even I've also wanted to create the first light up boxing outfit, which I did years ago. The first guy that ever wore that was El Maestro Mauricio Herrera. He was the first boxer that I got in a robe. But before that, when I first started my company, it was a personal training company because I was already training. So I was holding mitts for people. I was helping people that were going through being bullied, or women that I've been through, like women that are going through, that are being abused physically or mentally, just to kind of help them out. So yeah, I started building a clientele. And the thing about me was, the reason why they liked training with me was not because I was just training them, but because we were speaking about life. And I was helping them out through their obstacles. And I believe, like, I love designing. It's my passion. I love to design. I love to go crazy with it. But I believe my passion is to help others. Because I feel like back then I was a selfish individual. This is why I told everybody I don't want to be called Javier anymore. Because I believe Javier was a selfish individual. And I believe this new guy, JR, who everybody nicknamed the future now, I feel like he's the one that's going to help change the world now. Which is the reason why. Which is the reason why, like, fighters, oh my goodness, like, you wouldn't even believe me if I told you guys, like, who are the last people that I just sat with and I just talked to about life. Like, I've had a chance to like sit down with some like pretty big names in boxing and even celebrities these past few weeks, and the crazy thing is we've been talking about life, like literally, like it's just life. Like, we'll talk like the first 10 minutes about boxing outfits, and then like the next 2 hours will be about life. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where it started with me at first. It's kind of like, at first I wanted to be, like, at first what I wanted to do was, I wanted to go ahead and, you know, first I started off with the training and then I was designing t-shirts. What people don't know is that when I started, I got my own back and I was printing t-shirts. I was actually working two jobs at that time to pay off my lawyers and this company now to start this company. And for the first 5 years, everybody that I designed t-shirts for, I never charged anybody. Because why? I felt like one day my name's going to get out there. Because I felt like I wanted to get my name out there. And no, in the beginning, nobody wanted to pay me because they're like, oh, we don't know who you are. We don't know what I got my own back means. It's a cool name. But, you know, and then I was like, you know what? I'll design you guys some free shirts. So there was a couple guys from Orange County that I started designing for first. And they gave me the opportunity to design them shirts. So at first, that's what I started getting known by, because my t-shirts were very unique and very different. And they're like, hey, this guy's designing t-shirts, but they're different. So even, I started with t-shirts, first personal training, which helped me help others, and then which moved into t-shirts. But it's funny because every time that I meet with people, we end up exchanging stories. And this is why I've bonded with so many fighters. That a lot of the fighters that I used to give free shirts to in the beginning to help them out with their careers, they are now the ones that are giving me business. So, like, even when COVID hit, they were still ordering boxing outfits, even though they weren't fighting. Because, like, man, we want you to keep going because we've built such a strong friendship with you that it's not – you don't just sell us an outfit and just, like, disappear. You call us to wish us happy birthday, to see how our kids are doing, to invite us out to dinner. You call us to see how we're doing. If we lose a fight, you call us to help pick us back up. And that's honestly, when I first after my t-shirts, I knew that I wanted to get into boxing outfits because I grew up watching El Maromero Pais and Macho Camacho, and their outfits always stood out to me. I love their outfits. So I was like, see, these guys get it. I want to go ahead and create crazy different styles like that, like things that you normally wouldn't think, like, whoa, what the heck is this guy wearing? Right. So that's why I love working with Blair Cobbs too, because he likes going wild with his stuff. And that's really my style. And I'm also a huge 80s rock fan, just like he is. So that's why we connect a lot, me and Blair. And me and Blair have had a lot of heart-to-heart conversations also. And
another guy with an incredible backstory.
And that's why me and him, we've shared our stories together. We've hung out together. Like, I've even had fighters sleep over at my place where we just sit there and talk about life. Like, these past 2 weeks, you wouldn't even believe me who was sitting in the back of my trunk, me and them, like, just talking about life. Like, because that's... Honestly, my main purpose in life is just to help people see the world with through different eyes. Because my vision was very dark back then. And now it's just to help others kind of see the world differently.
I think that's a really important thing to kind of put a pin in is being in a position to help the world see things through different eyes. Because in any business, it all comes down to relationships. And when you do it in earnest and you're real, people respond to that. Not so long ago, maybe 2 years ago, someone we both know, Zena, sent me an inbox saying, follow him now. And I said, say less, because whatever Zena says.
I love Zena.
No one who ever met, you know, came across her, whether, you know, it's virtually or in person. Everybody loves Zena because she's real like that.
She's very real. I got mad love for her.
And when she has your back, she got your back.
Like, yeah, she does.
You know, but, you know, when I started to look a little deeper into your story, it made perfect sense to me that you were part of the boxing world, because I never met a fighter who chose a profession because they had nothing else to do. It's because they were fighting their way out of something, fighting their way back to something. They needed something, a place to stay, something to eat, a place to... belong. And so now you've got this business and you found a way to give back and you're involved in WBC Cares. How did that happen and what do you hope to bring?
Honestly, what I want to bring is I feel like a lot of these guys are going through so much, a lot of these fighters, and it's hard for them to open up to people. And I've had the opportunity to speak with so many fighters that through WBC Cares, because I'm a mentor right now, and I also speak at schools, and I've spoken at colleges, I've spoken at graduations, and through WBC Cares, I feel like they're able, I see that they're everywhere. They go to jails, they go to hospitals, and I want to bring what I have learned through life, like about through life, and I want to go and give back to all these kids. I want to give back to all these teens, so even guys that are locked up, because I know what it's like to be in a lot of these situations, right? So what I love is the fact that this now is going to, it opens doors for me to actually get in there and do more speaking. If you know me, like on a personal level, like, you'll know that my main thing in life that I love to do is I love to speak and I love to give back. And the funny thing is I do a lot of that behind the scenes without even showing it. Some stuff I do show, but I don't like showing too much because I don't want people to believe that I'm doing it for any kind of social media clout. Because to me, I do it from the heart. I recently spoke at a school and a kid said, you know, what's the greatest thing I've ever accomplished? I said, the greatest thing I've ever accomplished is being able to give you guys hope, because you guys are smiling right now because I'm giving you hope because I was just like you. I was where you are right now. And the fact that you guys are smiling, that's a greater feeling than designing for a movie than this and that. And I started telling them, they know what I've done. But I told them the fact that I can make you kids smile and give you kids hope, that to me means the world. Which is why I want to be able to do that with WBC Cares. And I mean, right now, I already mentor and help a lot of fighters through some, you know, things that they're going through in life. So I feel like with WBC Cares, it'll give me an opportunity to really bring that more to the table, where I can speak to more fighters, maybe help more guys that are coming up, guys that are coming out of losses, guys that maybe it didn't go the way they wanted to in their career. And maybe we can help them find opportunities where they can still be proud of themselves. And to be honest, there's a lot more that I want to do. And honestly, when Marisa Suleiman called me to welcome me as an ambassador, that was like the greatest feeling, because to me, I know I can never get a green belt because I'm not in the ring fighting like these guys, right? But just the fact that I became a part of something that I know is like, it's the biggest thing in boxing, is the WBC, right? So for me to be a part of that it meant the world to me, because to me, I'm a guy who never really, you know, I didn't really accomplish a lot when I was younger, right? So for me, that was like me getting like a gold medal, becoming an ambassador. That to me, I felt like I just got a green belt myself. I feel like these guys do when they're in the ring and they got a green belt, because they know how hard they've worked. They know the struggles. They know the obstacles. They know that it wasn't easy to get to that point. So when Mauricio called me, I really do wish he knew like how much it meant to me as a person, that I know where I used to be. And now to see this to me like meant the world to me. It meant a lot, to be honest.
I just dumbfounds me, CC, going back to the earlier conversation on this man. What can you say? Like, people tried to really hate on him, you know, like other people that are making, you know, trunks and whatnot, like, where does this guy come from? Who does he think he is? He's the future. And when good people do good things, you know, I learned a lot from him, even though I'm older than him and my grades are showing that. How much older I am to him, but he helps me. Like when he's out there, and I know what he's been through, and he's over there, you know. Like we talked to Jill ourselves, JR, about joining you. That's how much influence, you know, you had. Like, we're gonna join you, bro. We're gonna be out there with you, and we're gonna be doing these things with you because you inspire us that much. Like, it ain't even about me looking good in the ring or, you know, CC getting an interview. Like, we genuinely love what you do, bro. We generally are going to be out there pounding the pavement with you, this WBC Cares, because it's important. You know, you can sit there and be like the fat cat, like, oh, look, I got Canelo, since we've already mentioned, you know, who you've been working with. And, you know, you don't have to sit there and help anybody anymore. You've already gotten to that path, but you're acting like you're not even there yet. And that's what I love about you so much, man. Is there any point in time where you had anybody confront you? Like, I know that I've had a couple of people in what I do, you know, kind of not indirectly try to put me down, but to try to discourage, because they like you until you get there. And then when you get there, it's a whole different story, bro. Whole different story.
I had actually a couple other designers come up to me and tell me that my work was no good, and that they've already worked with some of the biggest names in boxing, and that they're like, hey, if you ever need advice on how to make a company actually look good, like, give me a call, because I believe what you're doing is kind of weird and I don't really vibe with it. Like, you're going in another direction. I don't think people are going to like it. And I said, you know what? I'm like, there's a lot of different people out there. And maybe some people are going to look at your style more. Maybe some people are going to like my style. I said, I believe there's enough business out there for everybody. I said, I'm like, you're chasing your own dream, and I'm chasing my own dream. Thing about me is, like, I'm not here to insult anybody. If you're going to insult my work, I'm just going to compliment your work, because that's just who I am now. I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to become that person. I even had a guy try to interview me. He invited me to an interview and he started name drop. He's like, hey, you call yourself the future. Is that saying, like, are you saying that all these other designers suck and that you're the best one? Because all these designers, you know, they seem to be talking trash on you. And I'm like, you know what? Let me tell you what I think about this designer. And I started complimenting what they all do very well. This guy, I love his sublimation. This guy, I love his OG style of, like, you know, the boxing outfits, that the way he's creating them. And he's like, wait a minute, you're giving them all compliments. I said, because I like what they're each doing with their own talent.
Right.
The guy was expecting me to sit there and, like, insult them. I'm like, look, we're all here. We're only here temporary. And I'm not here to have like, I don't want to sit here and badmouth people. I don't want to have that conscience in me anymore. I said, when God gives you another chance, you want to be a good person. You don't want to sit there. God didn't give me a chance so I can go criticize other people that are also chasing a dream. I said, that's not how I am. I said, so, you know, I'm sorry, but if you want an interview where I'm going to be saying that their, you know, their work is horrible, I'm like, you're not going to get it because it's not me. And to be honest, I always tell people, I'm like, there's a difference between people that do things because it comes from the heart. And then there's a difference between people that do things to be seen. Right. Yeah. I said, the difference is, I'm like, when I do things as a man who got a second chance, I'm just trying to spread that love because that's what saved me. Is having a love for life now, a different outlook on life now, which is, that's exactly the main thing that I like teaching people. I'm like, you know what? You might not be where you want to be in life, but there are a lot of people, my cousin who I just lost to cancer, she's sitting there hoping that she can wake up each day, right? She's sitting there begging for God to give her another day. So we're alive today. And I tell everybody that's the biggest reason to be thankful about. You might not be a millionaire. You might not be living the way some people are living, but just the fact that you're alive today, that is the biggest blessing to have. That's why I tell everybody, when I wake up in the morning, I can have a bad day or I can have a good day. No matter what, I'm going to be thankful because I almost didn't have another day 10 years ago. And that's why I try to get everybody to look at like, you know what? Life might not be perfect for you, but just be thankful that you're alive and just go take on each obstacle at a time. Right. And if you really think about it, if we all sit and talk to everybody, we all have our own little obstacles. We really do.
Yep.
So
what's the next obstacle you're looking to overcome?
I mean, right now, to be honest with you, I've 10 years now of just working hard. I guess right now, one of my little obstacles is I really wish I could spend more time with my family. Right. Because the thing is, business has been growing and it's been going really well. So I've learned that family really is important. And sometimes, I mean, I know it's about sacrifice, but I also believe that, you know, during COVID, we all lost loved ones. And it's like, you know what? It made me value the fact that, you know what, JR, you need to take at least a week off, a month, and at least spend time with your loved ones, because you never know what could happen in life. So that's one of the obstacles right now that I'm just trying to like, kind of try to balance my work and my business and my personal life. So I can at least have somewhat of a personal life now, right? Because the thing is, like, I'm not going to lie. When I spend time with my brothers and my parents, it's beautiful. And I've learned, like, you know what? It's not always all business. It's not always all business. And honestly, I just hired my brother. So he started working for my company. So he's doing an awesome job. And it gives me time to spend time with family now. And I'm hoping that everything goes well to the point where next year I can hire my dad also. So I can start spending my relationship with my dad. He after my overdose and he sat down with me and he asked me why did I do all this. I said, you know what, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna have to be honest with you, but you're the reason why I became like this. And he laughed for a second. I said, look, if you want to have a serious conversation, please don't laugh, because this is the reason why I ended up like this. So then my dad after that opened up to me about how his dad wasn't there for him and how he didn't know how to act. So that's what I told my dad. I said, you know what? I'm glad that you, honestly, right now, my dad's my best friend. Like, it went from like him being the reason why I went crazy to like me and him have the, I call him every day when I'm not with him. And I tell him how my day's going, and he is super proud of me now. And to me, it means the world. I even my dad said, he says, you know what, JR, you don't need to buy me a big house. I don't need no like luxury car. Just the fact that I get a chance to see you like succeed, and the fact that you're not where you used to be, he goes, that to me is the greatest gift. And my mother said the same thing. And honestly, I call them every day when I'm not with them, because I really got to thank them also, because they too gave me another chance, right? They didn't give up on me. So I have a beautiful relationship with them now. So I cut out the people. I obviously cut out the negative people out of my life. No more that life anymore. No more trying to act like a badass. No more trying to be like a bad boy, none of that anymore. You know what I mean? So to me, it's like, I kind of like lock that guy up and just, I never want to see him again. And it's funny because I actually told my family, you know, if it's possible, don't ever mention anything. Don't ever bring up any of those old stories ever again. And they've been very respectful to the point where we've all kind of gotten rid of that guy. And that's why now everybody just calls me JR, or like the fighters all nickname me the future, because like the style that I bring to boxing. They're like, hey man, it's very futuristic. You're the future. You're the future. So that's why now, you know, I just becoming a different person. That's all it is now. And just becoming a better version of myself. And I'm trying to be an example, because I know people are watching me. I know you, the youth are watching me. There's a lot of kids watching me. So it's like, I really got to be careful with the stuff that I put out. And I also just got to keep it positive, and I got to make sure I continue giving them hope. And I keep inspiring them. And to be honest, I have a lot of young designers that are like writing me like, hey, I want to design for boxing one day. And I encourage them to. I'm like, hey, hell yeah. I'm like, I would love to one day see your guys' work out there too, because I believe there is enough business for everybody out there. And you know what saying I've never liked when people say it's lonely at the top? I say it's lonely at the top because you didn't bring anybody with you.
Huh. See, that's why I love him. I told you. He's unbelievable. I gotta lock him up for one day so I can get some work done with this guy. He's so busy. Are you in Vegas right now?
I'm in Vegas right now till Saturday, yeah.
Oh, good, because I'm coming tomorrow. So I'm going to track him somewhere. Or, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. Yeah.
Maybe like the three of us might link up tomorrow.
We could probably go to lunch or something. Let me know.
Yes, we're going to need to. I just, before we let you go, man, I just want to tell you again, I'm sorry I was late. We have a new streaming service and it locked me out. But I just want to tell you how proud we are of you, man. Seriously, like no bullshit. You know, you are you're an inspiration, not only to younger generation, the kids, the fighters, but to us old heads, man. Like I find myself having to go to your page, man, to cheer me up sometimes and to see what you're doing. And it's cool. You know me already very well. I'm not a diva when it comes to what I do. Like, I'll announce in front of three people, bro, and parking spot. I don't care. And your sentiment, your train of thought is like what CeCe does. CeCe goes out there, kicks ass in her interviews, and she don't care who's watching her. She don't care what's going on. She just wants to do a good job. I want to do a good job. You're out there for your name, your pride, dude, and for people to be happy. If you could put a smile on somebody's face, that means more to you than any kind of dollar amount. And I know it's for a fact, bro. And it means a lot to me to want to help you succeed and to do whatever I can. So if you're going to bust your ass and break your back in these schools, taking the time out to talk to these kids, then we're going to be right with you, man. And we already talked to Jill Diamond about it. We're trying to get connected with her so we can ride with you, man, because it's important that shit, man. If you can do it and you got the time to make these outfits and supply the royalty of boxing, but yet still do what you're doing, we can too. So we're gonna do it with you, man. So
we could definitely do a lot more together.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you this weekend. But I'm just in closing for me, and I'll let CeCe close out for her. We appreciate you. We thank you for what you do. You're a breath of fresh air to the sport, man. And we're gonna have your back, bro. We have your back. Yeah. So we're riding with you, man.
Likewise, brother. Likewise. Thank you.
So obviously you're in Las Vegas working. Who are some of the fighters that we should look out for that are going to be wearing your design coming up?
I actually have to present this weekend or next week. I'm going to be presenting Manny Pacquiao boxing short. It's funny. Only you two know right now. Yeah. I haven't announced it, but I'm going to be going and delivering him. They invited me to personally give him like a short as like a, you know, it's kind of like a meaningful thing for him. Right. So I'm going to be putting his kids' names on it. I'm going to be doing like in the back, like a little bit to the, like a little tribute to the people of the Philippines for him. Cause I know how much he does for the people. So it's going to be a very personal short, just something that maybe he can hang up on the wall or something like that. Cause Brendan Gibbons contacted me. He goes, hey, I really do think, you know, you should do something for Manny because, you know, you've helped out a lot of the Filipino fighters. And there's a lot of them that you used to sponsor. So we believe it's time that you present the man with his own custom short. And I said, oh, beautiful. And they said, you know, who knows? Maybe that might open the door so you could do the outfit for this next coming up fight. And I said, all right, well, let's do it. I said, no, I'm like, I'm just excited I get a chance to meet Manny Pacquiao too. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm like, so yeah. So right now I already designed a short. I actually designed it while I was here in Vegas. I already sent the design out to my team over there in my office in California. So right now they're actually building it as we speak. So that reveal will be probably this Saturday.
Nice. Can't wait to see that.
See how quick you get stuff done. It's not no send away Mexico, come back, Pakistan stuff, 8 week shorts. Like, it's like now, let's go. You know,
also coming up. Also, Ryan Garcia just chose his fabric for his next fight.
Oh, very cool. He's going to be pimping. Ryan
next fight. So Ryan is having a next fight coming up.
those are two little sneak peeks I just gave you, but there's nice. I'm also gonna be featured in Ring Magazine next month as the first. So when you open up Ring Magazine, I'm gonna be in there as the first designer in Ring Magazine.
Awesome.
Sure to buy that one, and actually I'm gonna open it up and put it right next to
Yes, sir.
When it comes in, tell people where they can find you and follow you and hear more about your story.
So you can follow me on IGotMyOwnBack_fighter on my Instagram, or you can follow me on Twitter. I rarely post, but it's IGotMyOwnBackFighter. I rarely use that. And then I also have my Facebook.
IGotMyOwnBackFighter, right?
Yeah. And it's XX, IGotMyOwnBackFighter. And then also on Facebook, it's X, IGMOB, Fighter X. I post a lot on Facebook, and then I also have my personal Instagram that it's a very personal one. It's Mr.Zinzoon, and that is more for like people looking for motivation or to have one-on-ones with me. That's more for like people to just write me if they're going through stuff. A lot of Mr.Zinzoon, which is my last name, Mr.Zinzoon, and that's where a lot of people will contact me because I post about anxiety, panic attacks, anything that people want me to talk about, I'll talk about. And people always ask me to talk about certain things, whether it's you can't sleep at night, whether it's trauma, childhood trauma, whatever it is, and I'll speak about it on there.
Listen, we wish you nothing but the very best. Really excited to see what's coming up for you. And as Ralph said, just indelibly proud of the fact that not just being resilient, but you've been vulnerable and given a lifeline to a lot of other people. So if you joined us late, we were talking to JR of I Got My Own Back. He is your favorite fighter's favorite designer. Follow him on all of his socials. And we're going to run this episode back too, just in case y'all missed it, because he said some really important stuff. But for right now, hang with us for just a second, JR. Let me close out the show. I am Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sports Nisa, along with Ramblin' Ralph Velez. Hey, Ralph been busy. Please catch him on Mayweather Promotions. Hey, where are you going to be at next, Ralph?
Oh, my goodness. I'm getting stuck. You know what? JR, we got to get together, man. There's David Benavidez is coming home to Phoenix August 28th.
I'm designing his outfit.
Yes, you're not the only person outfit you designing. So we're gonna talk when we get there, because not only his homecoming, it's my homecoming too. So hopefully we get the word on that pretty soon. But man, I got Milwaukee. I'm going back to Signature Punch. We're doing Tampa, Atlanta again. Yeah, I gotta get with JR. I'm telling you, I got so many ideas too, and he's just as resilient as I am. This guy's busier than I am. So happy for him, man. But
thank you, man.
Hey, catch us next week on Levels right here, the same station. It'd be a different time. We will let y'all know. Have a blessed day. Y'all stay safe, stay healthy.
We're back, baby. We're back.